Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
iZotope and Native Instruments plugins have been the backbone of the Guitar Nerds podcast for almost the entire 10 years that we've been podcasting. iZotope's Nectar plugins help keep our audio crisp and clear, RX cleans up any artifacts, and Ozone masters each episode, whilst Native Instruments Guitar Rig is one of the absolute best guitar amp and effects plugins available and helps me demo pedals and guitars without having to set up amplifiers or microphones and still getting great tone. And now, with Black Friday fast approaching, they've put together a whole bunch of great deals. It's Cyber Week, so there's 50% off of loads of Native Instruments plugins, discounts on Guitar Rig itself, and loads of iZotope plugins, and a few bundle deals too. Check it all out at native-instruments.com. Matt.
Joe.
Matthew. Matt. Matty Matt.
Yes, Joe.
Well, I've got a friend, Matt, and you know, whenever I'm feeling down, he's always saying to me, "Cheer up, man. It could be worse. You could be stuck underground in a hole full of water." I know he means well.
Not the worst thing to have happened today, Joe.
Hello, dear listener, and welcome to the Guitar Nerds podcast. I am your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by Matt Knight.
I'm back. Also not the only person who's back this week.
Well, no, yes.
Ah, political. Guitar Nerds turns political. No, I know nothing about politics, and I do not wish to comment, but...
Yes, no, yeah, we'll leave that one. But yes, I mean, actually, I am also back because we had a week off. We didn't have a podcast last week, dear listener. I'm very, very sorry. I was going off on tour in France and Spain, and me and JD had planned to do the roundup of the London International Guitar Show, but I just didn't have the availability when I've bitten off more than I can chew recently with work.
It's all going on,
and,
Joe. It's all going on.
It is all going on. I mean, as we'll discuss this week, there all of a sudden, after a year of us constantly saying, well, there's not much being released, it looks like everyone and their mother has released something over the last couple of weeks, which is
good. It feels like there's been a new launch, like, every other day. Loads of news, loads of stuff going on, loads of interesting stuff.
Lots of things.
Think one of the things that shocked me the most, I don't think it's already been fully discussed out there, is the fact that they reckon the Edge has moved away from using amps and has gone to these UA.
Is that shocking? One of the most processed guitar tones in the world.
But also, if you watched his last rig rundown, I think he took like 9 amps. Like his whole rig is like 9 amps. You know, the man loves his tone, and his tech has clearly gone, look, Edge, I've had enough.
I'm 75.
Yeah, and I'm just like, you know, it's pretty mad. That, or I'd probably pick between that or the fact that everyone thought that Slash was leaving Marshall. It's like Marshall's stock just suddenly like dropped about 10,000% in value. But he said, no, still going to play Marshall, just going to have a signature amp with someone else instead.
Very cool.
But yeah.
Well, we all look forward to the Magnetone collaboration.
Yeah, that sounds exactly like a Marshall. No.
inevitably.
But Joe, yeah, you've been on tour and you did a guitar show. What was the highlight for your time away?
Well, the guitar show, in fact, dear listener, next week, because Matt, you're away next week. So next week, me and JD are going to do our roundup of the London International Guitar Show a little bit late, but we both bought things at the show and it was a great show. We've got loads of those still.
Oh, amazing.
So we're going to do that then. I had my tour, did a few shows in France, few shows in Spain. France, as always, is fantastic. I love that country. I love going there. Gigs are always great. The people are always lovely. I love the vermouth that they drink neat and the liquors that they put in their beers to make them 20% beers. They're great, fantastic. And shows are always good there, so always have a great time. And Spain is always weird. Everyone's always late. I mean, it's a lovely looking place. Everyone's just, you know, watches. Not Spain's, they haven't worked those ones out yet, but still great shows and a lovely time. Just, you know,
it's
always weird.
That's how you always spot a tourist on holiday. Yeah. Is certainly in like Spain and Italy, they're the ones going for dinner at 6 p.m. because right. No one has dinner that early. Basically, <Yeah. laughs> in any European country apart from the UK. I'm not surprised. Do they actually start shows good. Later? Is that a thing? Is it sort of a?
They do. Yeah, yeah. I often sort of will. Sometimes not, but sometimes they do. And you know, often we played our first show in Paris. We were playing a place called Le Cirque Électrique, which is a circus in the middle of a sort of bus depot in the center of Paris, and it's fantastic, wonderful place. It's got like four venues in there. One of the venues they do actually have circus stuff on, and then the other ones are like a bar and a club and
right.
things like that. So we were playing in a venue there, and I don't think we were on until 11 o'clock, half 11, and it was our first day, so we'd left Brighton that morning, got the Eurotunnel, and got straight there. Sat around for hours trying not to drink too much, and then had to play a show at 11 when we were all absolutely knackered.
You made it through, though, Joe. And what did you take on tour as a roundup for what was your rig for tour?
The gear. So it was actually our most slimmed down rig ever that we took. So Tim, our guitarist, was using his JC40, the Roland Jazz Chorus 40, the smaller 210 version of the Jazz Chorus, which is as loud as you would ever need an amplifier.
They are very loud.
To be.
They're very punchy, very aren't they? They're very like in your face, if you know what I mean.
Lots of treble. Yeah, exactly. But he's got one of those on the Boss BAS1, which is the Boss amp stand one, which is like an angled kickback stand. So it can double up as a monitor for him. And then he'll sometimes have the amp mic'd up, but often takes a line out. As the line out from the Jazz Chorus is so very good and very clean and articulate. And so he just had that, which was a very pint-sized carryable amplifier to take on tour. Unfortunately, we were playing a split of our last three records, which means he needed three guitars for the different tunings, mm-hmm. and then a backup that could do those. So we did have to take a lot of guitars.
But not anything else.
Yeah, he's got one of those. You know, those little three guitar stands where they're all in a circle. They're all
Hercules ones.
Sort of thing. So he's got one of those to be able to swap quickly live. So that for him, despite the extra guitars, was his slimmest setup. I took two Ashdown ABM single 12-inch cabinets. They're part of their Neo series, so super lightweight, just a handle in the top, so you can carry them around super easy, and then I can stack them and make myself a mini stack. And I'm just running the original 500, which is a Class D 500 watt super clean head, and that's all I'm using that for. That just stays flat. It's just all the volume. Well, you know, I don't turn it up the whole way, but I mean, it's just mm-hmm. there for clean volume, and then my tone is coming from my always on pedal, which is an Ashdown triple shot, which is a bass overdrive where you have three bands of EQ and then three gains for each of the bands. Mm-hmm. So you can keep your lows clean and then drive your mids, basically, which is
nice.
Kind of what I like to do to get that sort of 70s ampeggy overdriven amp sound.
Yeah.
Cool. So that for guitars, that was it. So a nice little slant.
And were you headlining the whole time, or was it sort of a mix?
Yeah. Yeah. We were headlining the whole time. But yeah, lots of fun, really good. Just always great to be playing the mainland of Europe. Obviously much more expensive, dear listener. If you don't know, for UK bands now to get over into the mainland of Europe post Brexit, we have to pay a carne, which is about 700 quid, which is a fee to basically a visa for bands to be able to play in Europe. And we're legally not allowed to bring any merchandise either, which is
really?
Why we've we've removed the sort of the footwell in the back of our transit in order to hide all the boxes of merchandise that we take over. But
there we go. Yeah. The less said about the current state between
the illegal operations,
yeah, the better. Well, cool. I'm glad to be back, though, Joe. I think it was probably only 2 weeks, but it felt much longer. And I was texting you the other day saying we've got to prep for Gear of the Year, and with me,
we do.
This time last year, I was getting ready to move, so Gear of the Year was hectic because I was moving house and doing it on a condensed space on my landing in my hallway. And this time, I'm actually going to be moving house at some point. So we actually, a year on, we need to work that out. But hopefully, we'll get that sorted sooner rather than later.
It'll be all right. We'll make it. But yes, it is good to have you back. Great to have you back today because, of course, you know, there have been a lot of things that have been released. We're going to try and cover a lot of things in this episode, dear listener. But you've got the Boss RV200 has come out. That's a big deal. That is a big release. The final one, basically, that everyone was waiting for,
indeed.
For years and years. So we've got that to talk about. The Boss BP1W preamp. That is a very exciting news. I've got one. We've got a sound sample of that this week to talk about. So we've got those two Boss things that are big. Thorpe Effects, they've just released a pair of new pedals, so that's very exciting. We're going to be talking about those. Hologram Electronics have released a new product just in time for Christmas, just in time to potentially snag that Reverb best-selling pedal of the year category, as they want to do. And KMA Machines have also released a new Octava, the Mandrake, which I did the launch video for. We've got a sound sample of that as well. So there's a load of other stuff. We're always going to talk about the Stupid Walrus Tuner, the Earthquaker Devices Zor, you know, the new Two Notes Opus. There's so much.
There is
so much to cover.
A lot indeed. Yeah. So, where do you want to, I guess, Joe, before we do any of that, we should dive back into the vintage guitar giveaway.
That is an excellent point, Matt. We absolutely should. So, dear listener, I've got some results to announce this week. Over the last few weeks, you guys have all been choosing your favorite finish for our vintage Pro Shop guitar build. Very briefly, dear listener, if you're not aware, we're building a guitar with vintage guitars, part of their new custom shop, which they're calling their Pro Shop. We're designing a guitar with you. Each week I'm picking a new feature and then you're voting on it, and we're getting closer to having a finished guitar. Once that's built, once that's finalized, Vintage Guitars will build that for us and we'll give it away to one lucky podcast listener. So far we've chosen the Body Shape, which you guys have gone for an offset, a Jaguar Jazzmaster style body shape. That's what we're going to go for. Then we took a look at colors. Everyone suggested different things. So in the first week, I had to have a look at what colors had been suggested several times and make a little short list of the most popular. I then put the top ranking six into a poll that I put out on the Facebook group, the Guitar Nerds group on Facebook, and also to our Patreon listeners over on patreon.com/guitar nerds. The top six colors were shell pink over sunburst, black over shell pink, purple sparkle, neon pink, and British racing green. Those were the top colours. What do you think about those top colours, Matt?
Well, I mean, it's no surprise that neon pink was in there. How much we've raved about it, I think, when we talked about it. But yeah, it's a fine selection. There's a few in there that maybe I personally wouldn't choose. But, you know, me, I've a pink guitar and I'm away. So probably a bit unfair for me to pick in some ways.
Well, yeah. Well, our pushing people towards neon pink didn't work at all, Matt. Neon pink, in fact, got 0 votes on Patreon.
That is. And who are these Patreon? I mean, surely, come on, Moke, you've been here for 10 years. Surely we've convinced you by now, but no. Well, it is what it is.
Yeah, and it only got 3% of the vote on the Facebook group. So the least voted for colour of all was neon pink.
Sad times.
There is a little bit of a controversial winner here. Now, the top three on Facebook were Purple Sparkle, Black Overshell Pink, and British Racing Green. And that is exactly the same over on Patreon. Black Overshell Pink, Purple Sparkle, and British Racing Green were the top colours. But the difference between the top two is what's actually changed the result of this. Now, dear listener, on Facebook, Purple Sparkle won. It received 31% of the vote. British Racing Green trailing with 29%, 2% in it. Now, over on Patreon, Black Overshell Pink got 16%, Purple Sparkle got 18%, and British Racing Green got a whopping 57% of the vote. Now, don't get me wrong, dear listener, I am taking into account that there are less people voting on Patreon than there are on the Facebook group. But even if I just take the number of people voted and I add them together, despite Purple Sparkle winning on the Facebook group, because of the amount of votes, the popularity of British Racing Green on our Patreon group, the winner and the colour of the Guitar Nerds Vintage Pro Shop custom build is going to be British Racing Green.
I don't think we've ever talked about a green guitar, so I'm amazed. But then again, it is what it is. Do you know what?
It's a British Racing Green Jazzmaster. That's what we're.
And actually, I tell you, I don't. I've just Googled British Racing Green, both just direct into Google image search, but also into Reverb. And there's very, very little British Racing Green Jazzmaster. So you know what? We could be onto something here, Joe. We could be onto a new image for people, a new image for the listeners. Certainly that with a taut guard looks incredible. So if there's one custom shop one that I've found. I do remember that it was quite a nice colour for amps, actually. There was, at one point, I think we had British Racing Green Marshall Class 5s was a limited colour at one point. I thought they looked very cool.
Yeah, maybe.
I think Blues Junior might have come in that colour at one point as well. It definitely did, with a sort of dark tweed grill cloth. Looked very cool. So yeah, I'm excited to see what it might turn out like.
Yeah. Well, there are some lovely examples of British Racing Green Jazzmasters if you just take a little Google of that, dear listener. So well worth checking out. So that's where we are. British Racing Green Jazzmaster. The thing that we have to choose next, dear listener, is the pickup configuration. Now, we are not going to mess around asking you for options because we know we'll get a million different, you know, tiny little variations. So we're just going to pin them down to the main things. And I'm going to put this up in a poll on both Facebook and Patreon. And next week, when I'm doing the podcast with JD, we will announce the winner at the start. So the options we're going to give you are a humbucker in the bridge, two humbuckers, two P90s, a Tele setup, a Strat setup, a P90 in the neck with a humbucker in the bridge, a P90 in the bridge, or three humbuckers. Those are going to be the options. And you're going to decide. What would you go for out of that, Matt, on a British Racing Green Jazzmaster?
Do you know what? I would. I don't know why this image just popped into my mind, but imagine if it had Tele custom controls, so four controls, and it had three humbuckers. So you had three volumes and a master tone. I don't know why. I just like, imagine that. Imagine having four controls on it. So it's like a Tele custom, three humbuckers. A bit like, was it? No, the Mischief Maker. Was it Mischief Maker?
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Tele that had a similar... I know that was obviously still a Tele, but I can't remember if it was that one that had the Gibson-like...
Yeah, I think you're right.
I'm trying to think. Tele... Mischief Maker, Fender, Tele. No, I can't. Oh, yes, it was Troublemaker.
Troublemaker. That was it.
Yeah. Which was a Tele custom, had those four Tele custom controls and then two wide range humbuckers. I reckon that would be cool. Three Tele humbucker. I guess we're getting dangerously close to a John 5. At that point.
Well,
I've just put Tele HHH, and the first thing that comes up is John 5, Jazzmaster HHH. Yeah. We've basically, at that point, then made a 60th anniversary triple Tele.
Yeah, yeah.
So, although someone has made one, I think this is a bit of a kind of Bitzer parts caster here, Jazzmaster with three wide ranges and then a switching plate with, master volume and two tones. Looks quite cool. But, yeah, very close to the triple Tele at that point, although that's got the sort of TV Jones Filtertron-style pickups in. But, yeah, I don't know. What about you, Joe? Have you got a preference?
Probably just a P90 in the bridge.
Okay.
I'd love the idea of something simple and just a nice P90 in the bridge. That'd be great. I'd go for that.
Cool. So you're going simple and I'm going way too complex.
Yeah, exactly. Well, now that we've suggested these things, if this is anything, if the neon pink debacle is anything to go by, no one's going to select either of the options we have suggested.
Yes, we will see.
We'll see.
We'll see.
Moving on from the vintage guitars thing, this over the last, a couple of weeks ago, I got sent a whole bunch of Honey Picks, dear listener, and they are extraordinarily cool. Honey-Picks.com. If you have not checked them out, you absolutely should. Matt, have you checked out Honey Picks before? I don't know if you've ever had
me. I have not. No, I have not. Picks always, as we know, chicken picks for life.
Chicken picks for you. Chicken picks
but
for
these
you.
Look cool because these are like, are they half sort of Tortex but also got wood engravings?
Some of them do. They actually do such a broad amount. I must have got 10, 12, 15 different types all doing kind of a different thing. They have a couple of series. They have their Royal Jelly and their standard series. And then within that, they have a whole range of shapes and sizes, all given honey or bee-related names. Beehive, bumblebee, honeybee, honey jar, hornet, smoker, I'm not sure why that is.
It's because you use a smoker to smoke out the bees. You wouldn't know, Joe, you're vegan. I don't know if you can eat honey.
Yeah, no, I can't. Absolutely not. Honey's the worst. Only evil people eat honey. But the range of Bix is substantial. And yes, one of the things that you pointed out, Matt, is correct. Some of the pickups are available with these lovely wooden inlays. It's actually an inlay. Now, dear listener, I did make a video of these picks over on Instagram. You can check out me going through each of them. But honestly, the incredible detail of these pickups, like the cast acrylic pickups, I think are fantastic. They have a range of sizes, like six optional shapes, dear listener. Six different unique shapes. And then you can choose a size of the plectrum itself. And then the thickness and the colour, which is fantastic. You can then choose whether to have a standard bevel, a left-hand bevel, or a right-hand bevel.
Just interesting.
Attention to detail on customing up your plectrums is something I'm very into. And then the grip itself, which is the wooden inlay, because it has like a textured finish. There are even a number of different grips that you can choose from. One of my favorite types of grip that they do is a completely hollow grip. In fact, one that has holes much like honeycomb that go the whole way through the plectrum. And it means that even on the reverse side that doesn't have the wooden grip, you do have just a little bit of texture to hold on to, which is kind of handy. But
it's amazing, really, isn't it?
The level of
even when we were at Guitar Summit, the amount of people putting their own take on picks. And I guess Dunlop pretty much had they still probably do have the majority share of pick sales, but they were the only picks you could ever buy. And now the internet is a thing and people could shop online. There is, so much more out there for you to choose from, from these small brands all doing their own thing. And, who's to say that the original plectrum design was the best one?
Since 2010, Music Nomad Equipment Care has been making premium and innovative guitar care products used and trusted every day by top guitar repair shops, guitar makers, and touring techs in over 50 countries. Pro quality but affordable Music Nomad is also the go-to for countless guitar players around the globe to help their guitars look, sound, and play their best. Whether changing strings, setting up your guitar, or detailing every inch of your gear, Music Nomad products are designed and engineered to be their best in class. From top to bottom, each product is so well thought out that it's clear their passion for guitar care is unmatched. With over 100 industry-leading products, it's hard to talk about them all, but some of the favourites are their 100% natural fretboard oil that cleans and conditions your fingerboard like no other, their Guitar Tech tool sets that can adjust just about anything on a guitar, string changing tools that make changing strings a breeze and actually fun, and they demystified the guitar setup process by developing their new innovative Keep It Simple setup, aka KISS for guitar setups. Their KISS precision gauge tool set comes with easy to follow instructions and many how-to videos anyone can follow to set up their guitar to play and sound great. And last but not least, their recent introduction of a game-changing fret care tool line, which takes fret care to the next level. Make sure you check out what all the buzz is about around Music Nomad, as they truly are redefining and raising the bar in equipment care. Learn more at musicnomadcare.com or follow them on social media with @musicnomadcare.
Absolutely. I'm just extremely impressed with all of these picks. They do everything from something that's more sort of straight-laced, something that's more simple and based on original plectrum designs, right up to sort of crazy super thick things with these gorgeous wood inlays. They're just great. Attention to detail, quality of workmanship is fantastic. If you're looking for something a bit different, or you've bought absolutely everything and you think that going down the rabbit hole of boutique plectrums is for you, then honey-picks.com. They are extremely cool.
Nice. Well, there we go. Always good to try a new pick. You don't use pick for bass though, do you, Joe?
Actually, I do the new Polymath stuff. I'm full plectrum for the new Polymath
stuff. For the whole record.
Well, the new stuff that's not out, like the previous record was 90% fingerstyle, right. But all the new stuff is plectrum now. I'm just going through a bit of a punky phase, you know, playing P basses, using a plectrum, but I still use these Ernie Ball Everlast 0.88 plectrums for that, just because I need something that I can stick into in the little scratch plate hole at the top, yeah, so that I can move quickly and easily.
Cannot put a chicken pick in there.
No, exactly. Exactly. And I find, to be honest, for tremolo picking, which is an awful lot of what you're doing on a bass, then a thinner plectrum's best.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Staying on the accessories thing, Matt, before we delve into all of the cool new releases, I want to talk about Oppenhagen.
Or is it Oppenhagen?
Yeah, it's that. It's it's a play on Copenhagen, the word, because it is a Danish company and they are hangers, dear listener. Yes, we're talking about guitar hangers. How exciting is that? Jay Cross would be.
I was about to say Jay Cross's favourite subject. Yeah, but these are a bit different, right, Joe? These are they're very stylish. Not, you know, I would say Hercules, very practical, not very stylish.
No, well, I mean, who really wants a Hercules stand in their wall? They look like they're sort of plastic and they got orange on them. You know, they're definitely probably, you know, one of the best hangers for looking after your guitar, being robust and doing a good job. But, you know, it's if you want your room to look like a sort of rehearsal space, a studio
thing,
do you
want it to look like a guitar shop?
Fine.
And I've spent enough time in them. So, you know, want something a bit
but it's
more
true.
Stylish.
It's true that there are no hangers for anyone who wants something stylish on their wall. Like, you tend to hang a guitar in your sort of spare room, your office, your bedroom. You'd never put it necessarily in your living room because you have nice things there and you don't want an ugly wall hanger on the wall.
True. But
that's where Oppenhagen have got you covered, because these are stylish, cylindrical guitar hangers that fold away into the wall as well and become a flat piece of finished wood.
For listeners who aren't in front of a computer looking at these, I would say it's the guitar hanger equivalent of a Stroop waffle. They kind of, they look like a nice toasty waffle that, basically hangs your guitar in, or ukulele, because they've got a ukulele one. I think the cool thing about this is that when you pick the guitar off, the whole thing folds away nice and flush into the wall, or relatively flush into the wall. So it kind of makes a nice little, as you say, I think something that fits in more with the aesthetic of like a living room or, you know, a dining room or something, where you might want your prized possession, but you don't want a, let's face it, sorry, Hercules, a big, ugly hanger sticking out of your wall. So, I think it's quite cool. They actually make one thing I'm also looking at here for ukulele fans, is they make an attachable little ukulele stand that goes onto the base of your uke so you can stand it upright on the floor. I actually think that's really neat.
That is actually quite cool.
Yeah, but the wall...
But they do... Oh,
definitely.
Yeah. They do a whole range of colors, so different wood finishes for them, and they do a guitar wall mount for 3-a-side and for 6-a-side.
It's worth pointing out, because I'm sure some people are going to ask, how does it protect your guitar? Because obviously you've got foam on Hercules. These have a nice cork top, which obviously you wouldn't see because of the angle that the guitar sits on, but it keeps the sides of your guitar neck nice and safe. And not only that, you know, it won't react with your precious poly finish, which, of course, was always the problem.
And Nitro finish.
That was always the problem, always the question we got when we worked in GAC. Will it destroy my guitar so I can come back and shout at you 6 months later when you've ruined my Gibson Custom Shop? And I think these are, I would imagine, being cork, nitro safe.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, they look super cool. I'll do some videos of me trying to yam one into one of my walls somewhere.
So I look forward to that.
I am the least DIY capable person you will ever meet. The The one place in my house, in my garage, when I made that up to be like a video studio a few years ago to do like all the Guitar Nerd top 10 videos, I hung some guitars on my wall back there. It's a good thing the camera's far away from that back wall because there are three or four holes in various places where I tried. And then, yeah.
Definitely done the same. I think where my walls were really old, I think one plug just came straight out. And I think I'd used the wrong drill bit, and I'm like, so it's like I had to try and fill that in and then like do a different hole. And so that's my biggest fear, is messing it up and then being left with a hole that you have to look at. And certainly when I'm going to move soon, I'm super nervous about doing any of that stuff because I'm like, you know, it's going to be like fresh plaster, fresh paint. I'm like, I just don't want to ruin it on day one, if you know what I mean.
Inevitably, Matt, you will.
No, I'm just gonna have to keep everything on stands.
There you go. That's
everything.
Good idea. Yeah, that's the safer choice, which is what I tend to do as well, keep things on stands. But I am going to try these Openhagen wall mounts. We'll see.
Nice.
I don't think we can go any further, Matt, without starting to talk about at least one of, well, we're going to cover them both, but one of the incredible Boss releases from this week. It's been a busy little while for you. You've been releasing a lot of stuff. We haven't talked about an awful lot of it on the podcast.
Basically, a product every like 2 weeks. It's been keeping me busy. Why don't we start with the one that you've got a demo on, Joe? Because actually, I think this might be one of my favorite bits of this year.
You said to me off air that this might be your gear of the year.
It may well be. The end user feedback, the kind of response we've had from showing this to people in stores and taking it around has been like amazing, to be honest. This is the Boss BP1 booster preamp. Wazza, so all made in Japan, booster preamp. And now this is a concept that is perhaps, some people would say, well-trodden. Many preamp pedals out there, many make-gooderers that we've been talking about for a long time. Of course, Exotic EP Boost being the main one. But so many of these preamp or booster pedals are based on something like the EP Boost or, you know, kind of, you know, maybe just their own character or just a neutral boost. And I tend to find, and I'm sure you agree with me, Joe, is actually sometimes you don't just want a clean boost. You don't want to make things louder. What you want is a bit of character. So what,
a bit of flavor.
A little bit of flavor. So what we've done is made a booster. So it's got a natural boosting mode, but a preamp pedal that models in an analog world the preamps in a CE1, so the classic CE1 chorus ensemble, and the RE201. And there isn't anything out on the market, on the sort of widely available market, that we could really see that covers either of those, certainly in the same box. So for people that might not know or have maybe never tried the originals, with both the RE201 and a CE1, the preamp is on all the time. And one of the biggest feedback bits we've had is, oh my God, is this going to help me sound even more like John Frusciante? Because he always has a CE1 at the end of his pedal chain. It's always split out into two of his Marshalls. And of course, whether the chorus is on or off, the preamp is always on. And I sort of didn't realize until earlier this year how much gain you can actually get out of a CE1 or an RE201. But for me, it's not about the gain, it's about the character. And as soon as I plugged it in and I started using it, and it's just, you know, when something just makes everything better. Like we've talked about make-gooderer pedals before, and I think you said many, many, many moons ago, it's just more volume. You know, when you've got one of those pedals, actually, is it just because it's louder? Do you perceive it to be better just because you're hearing it at more volume? Because obviously your amp sounds better if you turn it up, for example. Whereas I really found this just gave a warmth to the whole signal that was beyond anything that I'd really plugged in before. And I'm not just saying that to be biased or because of my position. I genuinely think it's tons of character in one really simple box. Like, hands down, you know, great.
And a really nice sort of low mids bump and a lot of saturation. Really handy to have a level and a gain control as
because it
allows you to push it a little bit. That's not something you'd get on with the EP Booster or like the MXR micro amp, which are, you know, probably the other more popular versions of this, or even things like, you know, one of our favorites, the ground control audio
Amaterasu.
Amaterasu.
Or even the, well, I mean, obviously we loved, you know, 10 years ago, the Pigtronics Class AB Boost, Class A Boost. But again, I think a lot tends to be very neutral, very flat. And I think you're right. I think for me, and I bought an EP Boost actually earlier in the year. And it actually had been modded to have all of the internal switches on the outside. And the more I used it, the more I was just like, I've got to turn it up to a point where I just couldn't really dial it in. I was like, you've just got that one volume control, where this, you can sort of dial the gain in where you want it. And then you've got the level control for an overall, level set. And I run mine after all my drives, but just before my delays, and I just leave it on all the time because I didn't want it in front of anything, because I didn't want it to add more gain to any of the
changes your drives.
What I did want it to do is, so I use an SDE 3000, which we launched this year as well, which is probably my favorite delay pedal for a very, very long time. Just adds a bit more warmth and character to that. It adds a bit more warmth and character to the Microcosm, which again is a great sounding pedal, but perhaps, you know, it is very digital. It's a micro looper, just gives it a bit more of a, dare I say, analog flavor to everything in your signal path. I just, hands down, I think it's, to me, if I was going to say, if someone was like, I want to spend a couple of hundred quid right now, what could I buy that I would I'll really enjoy? I'm like, BP1. Because I think it could be used in so many different styles, in so many different ways. It's not just like a glitchy delay pedal for, you know, ambient people, or it's not just a high gain metal pedal for metalheads. I think this can fit into so many rigs. And realistically, and you'll know, Joe, so many times you go into the studio record, it's probably like an RE201 in the outboard anyway, that a bunch of stuff is run through, and part of that sound is the preamp. So for me, it's a really, really good pedal, and coming in at, 150, I think it's, 159 quid, I think. So
still at the reasonable end of effects pedals. Yeah, I think for me, the thing that I really liked about it, of course, now we're going to listen to a demo, dear listener. I play guitar in the demo, but I've really liked this for application towards bass as well, because not only, as Matt says, does it excite things and add saturation and gain, it also has the ability to offer quite a lot of clean headroom whilst still adding character. And where that's useful for bass players is, for example, I have for the longest time used a Sansamp VT DI as my preamp, last pedal in my effects chain, and it sounds fantastic. You can give it that edge of breakup SVT style sound. You can make any Class D head sound like that, and it's a brilliant pedal. The problem is, when you start running overdrives into it, which I inevitably am going to do, because you're already adding sort of an analog gain in pedal form, it just slams the front end of the pedal, and you end up struggling to use overdrives effectively alongside. So fantastic on its own, difficult when coupled with other overdrives.
Yeah.
Without having to sort of turn it off. And then, anyway, it's just tricky to use. The great thing about this is that it gives you some tonal character. So if you're just going into a clean Class D amplifier that tends to be a bit anemic sounding, running something like this gives you that warmth, that sort of lower mids bump, I don't know, and a little bit of that grittier sound, that more vintage tone. But when you run drives into it, it doesn't slam it enough that it changes the voicing of the overdrives very much at all. So just a really useful slight exciter for clean tones for bass players, I think.
I agree. Yeah, just for me, I'm totally – and everyone in my team who's had one, everyone who's taken around – plugged it in, everyone's like, yeah, it makes a real difference to the overall sound. It's really top notch. So you might have seen it and you might have been, oh, that's not very exciting, but I can tell you it's one of those things that once you plug it in, you definitely will feel, I think you'll really feel it.
Here at Guitar Nerds, we are massive fans of StringJoy guitar strings, and you should be too. Strings are such a fundamentally important part of being a guitarist and a guitar nerd, which you all are. Yet often when it comes to strings, we overlook them. We spent years just buying the handful of standard sets out there instead of seeking out the same quality we look for in our guitars, effects and amps. Scott at StringJoy and the StringJoy team are massive nerds about guitars and guitar strings, and they've worked very hard to create extremely high quality sets of electric, acoustic, bass and mandolin strings, both in a broad range of gauges and the unique option to custom design your own set, which has frankly become an essential for me to explore alternate tunings and try new things. StringJoy strings are available at stringjoy.com and at 400 plus dealers across the globe. If your local store doesn't stock StringJoy yet, ask them to.
Yeah, yeah. What's the difference between the CE and the RE tonally, the two preamp options?
For me, CE1 tends to be a bit brighter, a bit sharper. Right. It's got a bit more raspiness to it. If you ever crank up a CE1, it's kind of got that sort of top-end chime. It's very bright, where the RE tends to be much fatter, warmer, more bassy. I actually put mine in the CE mode because I kind of like that sort of raspiness, that more top end to it. Keep the gain down and then set the level. And I don't set it, so I kind of dial it in. So realistically, when it's on, you're not getting a lot more level, but you are getting all of that character. And I have it set to the vintage buffer mode, so it's always running through the vintage buffer. So depending on which buffer mode you set it on, that's what buffer mode or buffer the signal runs through when the pedal is on. When it's off, it's always running through the standard buffer. But the vintage input buffer just has a slightly different tone and response character to a kind of more modern buffer. I would recommend. It is kind of subtle, but it does make a difference in the feel, I think. But yeah, I go for the CE mode, as we say, sort of bright bell-like character with tight low-end response. If you want the official line, where RE is sort of fatness and warmth in lower gain settings with increasing saturation as the controller's turned up. I mean, you could use this as a really cool vintage drive.
Yeah, definitely. I did find it didn't work so well with my Blues Junior. I felt like, I'm not sure, I don't know how well it worked with Fender. Well, Fender amps just don't drive well anyway. Like, you need something else.
I think sometimes it depends on the input and headroom of the amp that you're running into. You know, and again, it's about finding that sort of sweet spot and that natural position, really, isn't it?
Absolutely.
You know, because I would imagine that for me, although you were saying, you know, Tim was out on tour with a JC40, for me, I've always found those sort of pedals into a JC because it's so clean, there's so much headroom. But, you know, if you dial the gain down and you're using the level, you're just getting a bit of the character out of it, then, you know, that's what it's great for, in my opinion.
Yeah. It's a really good pedal. I mean, I really like a Make Gooder anyway, and this is a great Make Gooder, and it's lovely to have Boss in the sort of market of a Make Gooder.
This time. But yeah, for me, I would say if anyone's out there thinking of Christmas, thinking of something that gives a bit more analog warmth to all of their other pedals on their pedal board, especially if they've got some cool analog pedals, this is definitely one to add a bit of character. And I don't think it will. I don't think it will be leaving my pedal board anytime soon, Mr. Branton.
No, I am unsurprised by that statement. Let's give it a little listen anyway. So in this sample, it's just like, I think there's two guitars, one just thickening up underneath with the pedal off, actually. It will be the pedal off for the first little bit. You'll hear me click it on. And then about halfway through, I flick from the RE to the CE, but I doubt you're going to hear that because the difference is so sort of subtle, and you know, you're listening to something that's been sort of, you know, recorded, mastered, pumped into another piece of recording software and into your ears, dear listener. So that difference will be subtle, but nonetheless, I hope you can appreciate that this is a fantastic sounding pedal. I'm using this with a kind of Edge breakup amp, and I think it's just to show how it excites that front end of the amplifier as well, and just adds just lovely detail and texture and warmth to your tone. That is the Boss BP1W.
Very cool. Thank you very much, Joe, for your wonderful demo.
That's all right. But yeah, great addition, brilliant pedal. I'm excited about it. Oh, Gear of the Year is going to be hotly contested now.
You better start actually putting some lists together because there's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, that is a good idea. I should do that sort of thing. The only thing that's stopping me from putting a list together is that we have the best listeners in the world, and I was contacted a couple of weeks ago by one of our podcast listeners, the wonderful Thomas Adelgren. Am I saying that right? Let me know, Thomas. Anyway, he has basically got a bunch of the other listeners together, and they've put together a list for me.
Oh, God, before you know it, we won't even be doing our own podcast.
I would love that. Does anyone want to buy Guitar Nerds?
Yes,
I'll sell it to you.
Pay us off. We'll go and sun it up in Hawaii for 2 days, and then that'll be it. All our money gone.
We'll be on a beach earning 20%.
Yes, indeed. That's great. Well, I look forward to... I look forward to actually seeing what came out this year.
Yeah, exactly. But it's going to be great. It's going to be a really, really hotly contested year. There are so many things that I am very excited about.
I'll tell you what's going to be interesting, the amp category. Because I know last year the amp category was, you know, well, we ended up putting high-end modelers and stuff in there. Realistically,
are there any amps?
What have we seen from amps this year?
Who's making amps?
I mean, for me, I think the only thing actually that I've seen this year, which I've used extensively and love, is the Silktone Micronaut. I think it's one of the only things I've seen that really jumps out to me as something that was a significant launch this year.
Yeah. It's an interesting change in how things are going. Even, you know, for Ashdown, this year is the first year since whenever it was, 1993. Mm. I think that they started first year that the smaller combination amplifiers, the Studio Series, which is their Class D combos, have outsold their flagship ABM solid state stuff,
right?
The big stuff, the heavy stuff.
Yeah.
You know, because that was always the thing for Ashdown. They were always, you know, sure they sell in shops to the kids and the small bands wanting to buy the lightweight stuff, but I think the bulk of their sales are going to big touring bands and things like that. They sell a lot of big rigs. Mm. You know, and do a lot of things like that. And this year, for the first year, best-selling stuff is all the, you know, the things like the Ant, which is their 200-watt power amp that goes on your pedal board.
Yeah.
And combo amps, little lightweight things, Class D things, smaller things.
What did you say? On tour, you were the only band that used amps.
One of the only bands, yeah. One of the only bands. Now, there were a couple of exceptions. Sure, we played with some like very doom metal band that, of course, turned up with 2 412s for the guitar player. And the bass player, upon seeing my 2 112 setup, was like, oh, I don't know if I can use an amp this small. he was fine.
Of course he was.
he had a minute. But other than those guys, most people were using modelers. Most bass players turned up with an HX Stomp and went to front of house with an HX Stomp. HX Stomp seemed to be the bass player's go-to, and that's just testament to how good Line 6 have been at making bass patches, just better than anyone else.
Well, there you go.
And on the guitar front, Kempers were the most popular thing, and then an even split of Neural DSP and Helix outside of that, but Kemper dominating in Europe.
Well, there we go.
Certainly at the shows I was at.
Right, where are we going to next on news, Joe?
Well, shall I do my one, and then we'll do the RV200 after that?
Let's do that.
So KMA Machines, dear listener, you might know I've worked with them for, I don't know, a year, something like that now, maybe a little more. They've just released a new pedal, the Mandrake Octo Shrieker. I got to make the video for it, which you can watch on YouTube. I also shared it on the Guitar Nerds Facebook group. When I say Octo Shrieker, it is an octave up fuzz. It's actually inspired by their Moya Maya, which is an octave pedal which gives you two different octaves down, one and two, and then an octave up with a fuzz on it, on individual foot switches, so that you can control those individually and blend them. This is a modified version of that octave up fuzz, but given extra controls. So you have a dry signal and an octave up signal. The dry signal is great because it means that this actually is very usable for bass players as well, if you just want to make sure your low end stays through. But also, if you want to add like a drive pedal in front as a guitar player, and, you know, or something, some other tonal flavoring in front without the octave up fuzz dominating that tonal sound, you can blend that in, which is quite a nice feature. Then the two other controls are a filter and a timbre control, which basically control, one of them controls how crazy, how outrageous that octave up is, or how tight it can be, and sort of 8-bit ring mod-esque. Then the filter control is the other way around, and then the timbre control is like the drive on the octave up, so you can have it very clean or you can have it very crazy and driven. So pretty versatile for an octave up fuzz pedal. It's got a lot
I think that's about several controls more than most, because most are basically just
here's your sound
or one,
yeah, blue
or
box,
none,
MXR blue box.
So I think it's quite cool that you can, you know, certainly having the filter on there, certainly having the octave up control on there, and the dry blend, because there isn't really anything on the market that allows you to do that. So setting the clean mix, certainly, because I think, you know, when you go sort of like further up the neck pickup, and you get those kind of ring modulator type vibe, it's nice to be able to have a bit of clean signal just to help you cut through, certainly in a live mix, I think.
Yeah, definitely. But, you know, also at the same time, being able to defeat that completely and just have the octave up on its own, you know, without any supporting, standard tone, is fantastic. Just, I thought, really versatile for what it was. Nonetheless, I did find when I was using it, I was basically trying to make it sound like an MXR Blue Box anyway, but it's all the controls are there if you want to make it sound like something else, but it was very good. I'll play a little sample from it so you can hear it. This is going to be a complete track, dear listener, that I did put together and put out on the video. But give it a listen. You'll hear I'm doing a couple of different things with this pedal. It is great. We'll be right back. you go.
It's got a very, very Jack White kind of vibes about it. I like it.
Yeah, yeah, that is also my sloppy playing, but the, but yeah, I really like it as an octave up fuzz. To be honest, having something that I can actually tailor a little bit more—that's kind of it, isn't it, dear listener? There's not that much to say about an octave up fuzz, but actually being able to control and shape that octave up tone a little more than most octave up fuzzes is really, really useful.
Yeah,
and so it was a very cool sounding pedal.
Indeed. I mean, so, I like the old. It's very difficult though for me to replace my Boss FZ2 Hyperfuzz, unfortunately.
Does that have an octave up fuzz on it?
It's based off the Shinai fuzz from the 60s, right, which has got that. If you certainly get a bit more of the gain on one of the modes, it's got that kind of octave up thing. Not as much as that though. A little bit more of that sounded almost like it's got a much cleaner but slightly more, well, no, it's almost like a whammy type thing. Obviously, the whammy's got that kind of glitchiness, monophonic type thing, which that kind of has.
Definitely.
That feels more like an octave up effect with a bit more fuzz rather than a fuzz with a bit of octave up in the background, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That is exactly what it is. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, same for me. I don't think the favorite fuzz is still going to go to the Hi-Watt Custom Shop Filter Fuzz for me, and I really love the Great Eastern FX Co. Focus Fuzz, the silicone version. That's a tough pedal to beat.
No, that'd be something we'll definitely be talking about in Gear of the Year, I think.
Oh yes, of course we will do indeed. That did come out this year. We'll see how it goes. So let's make the last thing we talk about. This means that all the other things, the hologram, chroma, the Thorpe effects pedals, the weird tuner with backgrounds, the Zor, the two notes opus. Those are the things that we're going to be talking about over on Patreon, because Matt, we have to talk about the Boss RV200 and how it's taken this
long. I had that question a few times. I've got no official answer. Yes, the 200 that everyone's been waiting for, the RV200. So the RV200 is part of the 200 series. If you're not aware, the 200 series from Boss is our sort of, I guess we would say, simply sophisticated pedal. So imagine a kind of size and a half of a normal compact with multiple algorithms, stereo in, stereo out, where applicable. But no menus. There are menus if you want to deep dive into the kind of retro LCD display, but effectively six controls and then a kind of control for setting your algorithms. And the RV200 is no different. So 11 reverb algorithms, a parameter control, which changes depending on which algorithm you're in, high and low controls for EQ, and then you've got level, pre-delay, and time, up to 10 seconds decay on all of the reverb modes, or most of the reverb modes.
10 seconds sounds very generous.
It is very generous. So you can get some really big, expansive reverbs out of it. It does your classic room hall plate spring. And then, obviously, we've got the sort of quite a few algorithms ported from the RV500, shimmer, slow verb, plus delay, modulate, gate, reverse. So you've got some of those more special effects reverbs in there. And a brand new algorithm specifically just for the RV200 called the ARP verb, which adds an arpeggiator underneath your reverb. So where you've got shimmer, you've kind of got that octave up thing. This adds basically a arpeggiator that's triggered by the notes that you are playing. So very cool, very sort of
inspired by the SY.
Yes,
series,
it's got that kind of, and you can speed up or slow down. I really like the slow verb because you can take all of the dry signal and you get this kind of almost like a slow gear swelling of your reverb sound.
Ooh, that sounds lovely.
Stereo in, stereo out, and then you've got like a hold mode as well as a memory button on there as well. So for me, I think the winner for this, the kind of person for this, is someone who's got a small rig or a big rig, who's got MIDI switching, doesn't want to deep dive into menus, but maybe wants a few different reverb sounds, or even if they're not using MIDI but just need to go between a couple of different reverb sounds. You might have a Strymon Cloudburst or a Strymon Flint, or, you know, plenty of the other great reverb pedals out there. Think of like Walrus Slow, for example, for ambient stuff. But you tend to have
Astral Destiny.
Yeah, you tend to have like two or one reverb sound that you might dial in, or something you might mess around with. But you also need a spring sound occasionally, or a small room. And that means you have to have another reverb pedal. And this is everything combined, you know, on the face of it. No MIDI, you've got four presets and a manual mode. On MIDI, you've got 227 presets. And it just gives you everything that you could want in a small package that's, what, £259, I think?
Very good. Very aggressively priced, considering the type of pedals it's competing with. You know,
yeah,
Strymon, Meris.
Very much trying to be a pedal that gives you a lot of bang for your buck. That's the idea here. Of course, if you want simplicity, we still make RV6. RV6 has got some great sounds in it. If you want more complex, you can go RV500, and there's some great big reverb pedals out there. You know, Strymon Big Sky being one of them, of course, one of the all-time greats. But sometimes you don't want that. Sometimes you want something perhaps a bit smaller, a bit more dainty, but no less feature packed.
There's not MIDI on the RV6 or
there
anything.
Is not. No.
So do you ever put MIDI on your compacts?
MIDI on compacts. RC5 for MIDI sync, SL2 for MIDI sync. So there's a couple out there for syncing to for MIDI clock, but not for
patches. So the 200 is what you need if you want to really take advantage of the different algorithms.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess you're looking at the difference. RV6 is £159, so there's £100 difference, really.
Yeah,
you know, and I think you get a lot for that. A lot more for that.
Yeah, so it's extremely cool.
Yeah, very cool.
What's your go-to reverb on your pedal board at the moment?
6M78, which is not really fair. Well, actually, I would say 6M78 is not... In some ways, it is limited because you've only got three reverb types on there, but obviously very, very deep dive. I mean, it's great that it's got flying faders, but not that I ever really care about the flying faders at all.
Sure.
You know, and I guess their more recent one, the reverb system that we saw, maybe we touched on briefly, that was launched recently, obviously much more deep dive, and it's got loads of their other Meris effects in it, like their Hydra and all their sort of pitch detection ones. But for me, I kind of like a really sort of simple, expansive reverb, and then I've got like the hologram for doing other stuff. But actually, that's part of one of the reasons. I mean, I love the reverb sounds in the H9, but part of the one of the reasons I'm excited to try this Line 6 HX1.
Yeah,
you know, again, we could do a whole podcast on this, but I'm amazed the amount of people that hate that product.
What is it getting?
It's getting hate. People are like, it's too expensive, and I'm like, it's £250, and they're like, oh, it only does one effect at once, and I'm like, but wait. So does like everything else. I'm just like, if you've got a MIDI rig, and to me, the only other option that covers that much basis, that many effects, is the H9. And it's double the, and now really the H90, but the H9 Max, it's over double the price, and you have to connect it to an app to edit it properly.
It is because people don't know how to use MIDI, Matt.
I just don't know. But it's been getting a lot of hate purely because of the price, and because people are like, it doesn't do enough for the money. And I'm like, well,
you should know, dear listener, that I will be voting for it and using all my veto power for anyone who goes against the HX1.
Yeah, I too will be putting a vote behind that, just because, I mean, it's, maybe we'll save it for Gear of the Year, but it's sort of, you know, okay, maybe it's not innovating, but I definitely think it's catering for a good market. But we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it in a few weeks, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. We shall do. Now, we haven't nearly managed to cover all the other things that were in the news, dear listener. As I said, we wouldn't. So Matt and I are going to head over to Patreon right now, patreon.com/guitar nerds. If you haven't signed up to be part of our Guitar Nerds community, then why not? Give it a go, dear listener. You can head over there. It's got all the information you'll need on how to sign up. You can do for as little as $1 a month, but it's at the $5 tier where you'll get access to all our Patreon exclusive episodes, all bajillion of them that we've recorded over the last decade. But yeah, we're going to go over there. We're going to talk about all these things, the Two Notes Opus, the Earthquaker Devices Zor, this weird Walrus Audio canvas tuner, the Thorpe FX pedals, maybe this Chroma console. We'll see. We'll see how much we get through, but we're going to head over there right now. So do join us, dear listener. Don't forget to vote when you see the polls for the vintage guitar pickup configuration. Let us know what pickup configuration we need to go for, and then next week I'll announce the winner of that, and we'll be nearly there. We've only got to choose like the neck and everything, and then Matt and I are going to choose all the other little bits so that, you know, we can take some control of this absolute monstrosity that you lot are building. we'll see how it goes, but in any case, we'll be back next week with more of this guitar nerdery. Farewell,
goodbye.
Thank you very much, you wonderful people. Thank you especially to our $10 top tier Patreon backers. Very soon, some of you will be receiving your goodie bags, but for now, thank you very much to Nicholas Strom, Rocket Rob Patterson, Marcus Deluxe, Suresh, Dorsonic Pickups, Rob Witherden, Chris Franklin, Anton Fryant, Russ Meehan, Barry Gresbick, Steve Davis, Daniel Walker, John Conaway, Russell Healing, Yogi the Guitarist, Ty Allen, Kyle Harris, Sean Hughes, Andy Hoffler, Eric Hemmer, Jeffrey Wax, Dan Pilver, Brian Einsler, Dylan Griffiths, Mark Izal Kadawaki, Eric File, Peter Peche, Andy Manley, Joe Puttick, Blake Weiland, Phil Radomski, Dave Lee, Ross Edwards, Jason Wharton, James Dorr, Jake Gray, Derek Rich, Scott Kennedy, Steve Merkel, Abe Matthews, Christopher Losef, Stephen Burke, Robin Smith, Kytopia the Band, JD Short, Andy McKenzie, Brad Page, Rob Nordvik, Scott O'Brien, and Moog Gravit.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.